Tonight, we are in Genesis 31, 14 through 55. And what has taken place? Here's the Sea of Galilee going, that looks like the Dead Sea. Yeah. Galilee, Jordan River going down to the Dead Sea down there. Here is the land of Gilead over here. Going up here, there's Euphrates, Tigris River. Here's Haran up here. Jacob has fled and gone up to Haran. He's been here now for 20 years. As of last week, as we talked about, he's decided to run back. He's decided to flee. And he has read the situation, and I think he's correct. He has talked after 14 years, he told Laban, I want to go home. I'm going to take my family and go back. And Laban says, no, I'm blessed because of you. I want you to stay. What will your wages be? And they started talking about wages. And Don said something at the end of class last week. I wanted to make sure we said this. He ended up switching, saying, I'll take all the speckled sheep and goats. And he ended up prospering that way. And he's been doing that for 6 years. But Laban kept changing his wages and ripping him off. And so Laban's not being honest. But what the Bible says that Jacob took and stripped bark off of the sticks and put it in front so they could see the white wood behind the bark. And so I was talking about it being white. Laban's name means white, and they're looking at these peeled sticks. What was doing it? Well, Don made the point that the sticks would be dark with the bark on them, and peeling off a little bit of bark would make the sticks speckled or striped. And so it was like a visual aid. So while they're mating, they got a visual to look at, and that's what they're producing. I mean, that's the logic, I guess, is whatever you put in front of the flock, they're going to produce that. And it worked. And so now, after 20 years, he's prosperous. He's got a lot of possessions. His flocks have prospered. And he realizes, we've got to go, I'm in trouble, and God has told me it's time to go back, because the promise was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was for the promised land. It's time for him to go back. He's got the wife and the family that's not married into the Canaanites, the people that are going to be destroyed in four generations, so they're still separated from the people that are going to be driving out, but it's time to go back. But he realizes, after 20 years of dealing with Laban, Laban's not going to treat me right. I've got to escape. And so he talks to Leah and Rachel, and they say, right here, top of page, the notes on page 1, Genesis 31:14. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there any portion or inheritance left to us in our father's house? Are we not regarded by him as foreigners? For he has sold us, he has indeed devoured our money. All the wealth that God has taken away from our father belongs to us and to our children. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do. So they are agreeing with Jacob and his God, and they say, we will follow you as you follow God. We're ready to go. And they say, Laban has treated us like foreigners. We are not family. They are not family. They have no money. We'll say inheritance. There's zero. They've been sold, and they realize that they've been for 20 years. They've seen how their fathers treated them. Well, they remember, you worked for 7 years for her, but on your wedding night I was there. And then Dad says you got to work 7 years for her again. And so, I mean, he's lied to all of us. So they say, we'll follow. So Jacob, chapter 31, verse 17. So Jacob arose and set his sons and his wives on camels. And we said last week, that's a big deal. Camels were very expensive. He drove, and Jacob had come up into Paddan Aram with nothing. So in 20 years, everyone's got a car. Everyone's got a nice car. He drove away all his livestock, so the livestock are traveling, all of his property, so all the possessions that he had gained, the livestock in his possession, so he'd gained flocks that he had acquired in Paddan Aram, to go to the land of Canaan to his father Isaac. Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel stole her father's household gods. Now Laban, to shear the sheep, that would take like 5 days. You're going to need, 300 men. It was a big deal. It was a lot of work that would take place. And as we talked last week, Rachel went in and stole the father's teraphim. It says household gods, probably not worshiping them, but they're probably images of ancestors that probably represent the family heritage, probably represent the father's estate. It represents the head of the household. They could be used for divination as cultures deteriorated. They could end up being worshipped or something, used for magic potions or magic charms. But they're basically the identifying and remembering their ancestors, their fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, and the family line. By stealing them, she's not stealing them to worship or pray to them. She's stealing them as this is our inheritance. This belongs to Jacob. I think Rachel's stealing them to give them to Jacob. You're now the new head of the family. We're leaving our father behind. And again, not that it was right for her to steal it, but that's her logic. She's not stealing them. She's not saying, do whatever your God says, but I'm going to take my gods with me. That's not what she's saying. She says, do whatever your God says, and I'm going to take these household, the estate papers with me. And Jacob tricked Laban, it says, the Aramean, by not telling him that he was intended to flee. I do not think that's a problem. I think that's his only way out. Laban, we're going to establish, Laban is a liar. And this is going to be a truth that you're going to see as we hustle through these verses. He's a liar. He's a cheat. He's a deceiver. But he has done it so often that he doesn't know. He believes his lie. And you're going to see him talk to his daughters, talk to Jacob. He's going to present himself as the victim. He's going to present himself as I've got a heart for my family. I'm a family man. I'm here and I just want to do the right thing. It's like, now the thing is, and this, you know people like this, and there's a place of breaking relationships inappropriately, but there's a place of survival where you've got to get away from a hard-hearted individual who is a liar, who thinks he's telling the truth, who believes his lies, and when he looks at you, he only sees himself in you and calls you the liar. It's that person, it's like, you don't hate them, you don't wish evil on them, but you get away from them. You separate. And that's what Jacob's in a field meeting with his two wives. He's got the two servants there also somewhere in the picture. And say, you know, this is what my plan is. God has told me, well, how do we do this? Well, we can't go tell Laban our plan because he's going to say in these verses, if you would have came to me. Now, you decide when you read these. Laban comes down, he says, if you would have just came to me, I would have thrown a party. We would have had singing and dancing and food. And I would have sent you off with a big celebration and said goodbye to you and blessed you and blessed my grandchildren. Why did you do this to me? And then a little bit later, he goes on and talks about that the children were his. He says, you stole my daughters. You stole my sons, referring to his grandchildren. You stole my flocks. Jacob, you could go, but these are mine. In other words, wait, are you going to throw, and Jacob, Laban is saying these in the same conversation. I would have thrown you a party and wished you well and just sent you on your way. I just wanted to kiss my grandchildren goodbye. Because you know what? They're really mine. You can go if you want to, but I'm going to keep these. It's like, well, who are we talking to here? And Laban's saying both of them. He's a liar. He thinks he's a good father, a good grandfather, and he'll treat you well. But he also knows, when I get a chance, I'm going to keep all of them, and I'm going to blame you. It's like, you'll see it. You'll see it come up here. Okay. Laban had gone to shear sheep, and Rachel stole her father's household gods, and Jacob tricked Laban the Aramean by not telling him that he intended to flee. He fled with all that he had and rose and crossed the Euphrates and set his face towards the hill country of Gilead. And you can see that arrow going down through Damascus, down towards the hills of Gilead begin almost when you get to the Sea of Galilee, just to the east of, I'm looking at my map here. If here's the Sea of Galilee, and you're coming out of Paddan Aram, the hills of Gilead begin right about here. And then you got the coastal plain, but this is where the hills begin right here. Good pasture land, good place to raise cattle. That's the Sea of Galilee right here. So he's come down here. It's been in fairly smooth travel, caravan routes right here. But now he hits the hills, and he takes everyone down there. Okay, chapter 31, verse 22. When it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob had fled. Now this becomes, again, I've got to be honest, I've got to admit this, and all the good commentaries deal with this, but Jacob is going to flee for 3 days, okay, before Laban finds out. So that means Laban's going to come chasing after him, and they meet in the hills, just east of Galilee. They meet in the hills of Gilead, okay? I'll read this again, chapter 31 verse 22, bottom page 1. When it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob had fled, he took his kinsmen with him and pursued him for 7 days and followed close after him into the hill country of Gilead. So he's definitely down there just east of Galilee. But God came to Laban, the Aramean, in a dream, just like he'd come to Abimelech, the Philistine, in Abraham's day, by night, and said to him, "Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad." In other words, you can go talk to him, but you're not going to make any value. You're not going to say good or bad to him. I don't want you going there. I mean, don't wish him evil. Now, this is interesting. God says good or bad. Now, we don't know for sure. You know, I'm reading into these things, trying to make sense of them. I would think God would say, I don't want you saying anything bad to him. Don't be insulting Jacob or threatening him. You go down there and see what's going on, but don't say anything bad to him. But because Laban is a liar, and Laban doesn't know he's a liar. Now listen, if you still have the integrity, the ability to say, I'm going to say something evil right now, I'm going to, and you go here and you go, yep, that was a lie, that was evil, and I really don't believe that, or I disagree with it. Or as a Christian, you say something and you repent, say, I was wrong, and you come back and center yourself. But Laban doesn't make that distinction. He'll maybe have good and bad, but it's not an absolute. It's bad if you say it, but it's justified if I say it. It's bad if you do it, but understand, the reason I did that was for a moral reason. So God can say, in God's words, I don't want you saying anything evil or bad to him. In God's standard, that means something. But in Laban, Laban can say, well, it wasn't bad. I was saying something good to him. But he's so twisted that when he thinks it's good, it's still going to be evil. It's like, no, I don't want you making any value. No, you don't say anything good or bad. No judgment. You see what he's doing? But you are so screwed up, Laban, that whatever comes out of your mouth, you're going to say, well, that was a good thing. No, it wasn't. That was evil. He doesn't know the difference, except if he's going to say whatever he says is good, whatever you say is bad. And so he tells him not. And so, and this is going to have an effect on Laban. He's going to say, your God warned me not to cause trouble. Here's the page 2. At the bottom of page 1, I'm sorry. Travel rate for Jacob 3 days and his flocks plus Laban's pursuit equals 10 days. So you've got 10 days here. Did I add this together? Excuse me. I made a mistake. Did you see that? He's traveling 7 days. So the rate of, gosh, that's going to be on my video now. That was terrible. Okay. He's traveling 7 days after Jacob left. So Jacob is also traveling 7 days. All right, yeah, this is, and so he's going to catch up and overtake him at the hills of Gilead in 10 days. So while he's traveling these 7 days, he's also traveling 7 days in time, but he's traveling a greater distance to catch up. So Jacob is now down here, okay, in the hills of Gilead. Man, now that's going to look sloppy on my video because it was like I tried to present that correctly. Anyway, the problem comes right here. This distance that Jacob has traveled in 10 days and Laban has traveled in 7 days is about 350 miles, which figures out to be 35 miles a day, which is crazy fast. Caravans at the best travel 23 miles a day. Flocks and goats and herds, they travel 10 miles a day. So if this is accurate, if Jacob is traveling 10 miles a day, then Laban traveling 20 miles a day would catch him, Jacob, after just 3 days. The distance would be about 65 miles from Haran, which means they just would have crossed the Euphrates River and been way up here. You can look back at that map. They would have just crossed the Euphrates River, and they would be at a place called Til Barshib. If Jacob were traveling 13 miles a day, Laban 70 miles a day, then they would have caught up, you know, on Laban's seventh day. This would be a distance of about 110 miles. Now they're at Eblah, still far from the hill country just north or east of Galilee. And so that doesn't work out. Jacob is, again, I don't want to be critical of the Bible, but the way it sounds, if Jacob is going to get down to Gilead in 10 days, three here and seven while he's being chased by Laban, he's traveling at 35 miles a day, which is awful fast for sheep to travel when they normally they travel 10 miles a day. They're traveling over three times as fast as they normally travel. Again, I'm not challenging the scriptures, but something is not meshing right here. And you can adjust it if you change the distance. You don't get to the right place. Some options, one answer is Laban maybe took 7 to 10 days to get ready, pack his stuff, and then start the pursuit. And you got to consider also Laban is traveling. He's 150 plus years old, which doesn't seem to be slowing a lot of these guys down, especially when Noah's building an ark when he's 600. But anyway, that's one of those things where you want it to work out, but we are going to pick the story up right there in Gilead. How they got there in that amount of time is a discussion. Does that make sense? Okay. Genesis chapter 31, verse 25 through 32. And Laban overtook Jacob on that seventh day, or Jacob's tenth day of travel. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country, and Laban with his kinsmen pitched tents in the hill country of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done?" Now here is Laban chewing Jacob out. This is Laban who thinks he is a good father. He's a good employer. He thinks he's a good grandfather. And he's hurt. This is him talking to Jacob. "What have you done that you have tricked me and driven away my daughters?" That word "driven away" is the same word used for driving cattle. Now you understand his daughters were not driven away. He met with them in the field and says, "Here's the options. What do you think?" And they says, "We're going to go with you. We want you to follow your God. Our dad's enough but rip us off. He sold us basically and spent the money." So driven away is a lie. But Laban thinks he's telling the truth. He says, "You have driven my daughters away. I didn't drive them away. You drove them away." It's like, no, Jacob or Laban. You drove them away for 20 years of mismanagement, and they willingly came with me. But anyway, "You have tricked me and driven my daughters like captives." Well, actually, you sold them like possessions, and I purchased them with a bride dowry, or a bride price. "You took them like captives of the sword. Why did you flee secretly and trick me and did not tell me so that I might have sent you away with mirth and songs and tambourines and lie. We would have had a party. That's how I would like to send you away with my daughters and my grandchildren. And why did you not permit me to kiss my sons and daughters farewell? I'm just a hurt grandfather. You've cut me out of Christmas. I just wanted to be there to hug the grandkids and give them a little gift." It's like, no, I've been at those Christmases before, and that's not what you do. You cause chaos. That's why we're not coming anymore. "Now you have done foolishly." Now he's blaming Jacob. "It is in my power to do you harm. I could harm you." Probably overrating himself because he hasn't harmed Jacob for 20 years. "But the God of your father spoke to me last night saying..." Now it's interesting, the God of your father. Laban apparently he recognizes Abraham's God, but it's not his God. He's got his own God. And that's not unusual in this culture. Everyone's got their own God. That's the ideal of Jehovah, Yahweh, is he's the God of creation. He's the God of all the nations. But Laban probably doesn't understand it that way. But he was impressed. "When your God appeared to me, or your father's God appeared to me, I didn't blow him off. I listened to him. I believe Yahweh, I believe the second member of the Trinity, appeared to him just like he did to Abraham, just like he has done to Jacob, just like he did to Abimelech, and now he's appeared to Laban, and Laban's like, not going to cross that line. He spoke to me last night saying, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. And now you have gone away because you long greatly for your father's house. But why, I understand why you're leaving, but why did you steal my gods?" Now again, those are the teraphim. "Jacob answered and said to Jacob," answers his first question, The reason I left was because I was afraid, for I thought that you would take your daughters from me by force. The very fact you brought up the sword, saying I took them with a sword, which he didn't, would indicate you're thinking force somewhere, that you're going to use a sword to keep your family. We would have had to go to war. Take your daughters by force. Anyone whom you find... Okay, so in other words, I went away because I knew negotiating with you would be impossible, that you would come to the conclusion the only way to resolve this is with violence. And so I thought, I'll just run away. What would be my options? If I stay and talk to Laban like a man, he's going to lie, thinking he's telling the truth, and it's going to end up being a violent situation. My best bet is just try to just run away and escape it. So Jacob's got, this is bad, this is not as bad. So he's going to say, and that's, again, you can see that happening in life. It's like, why did you leave this situation? Because if I was going to stay, it would have become much worse. And I saved the situation by leaving. And again, Laban is now trying to say, I wouldn't have done that. Well, you can't be responsible for something I didn't let you do. I prevented that situation from taking place, and so you're welcome. So now Laban can take the high road. I never would have done that. Yeah, you did. For 20 years, you did. You didn't do it this time because I didn't let you do it this time. And then he says, but as far as your gods, he says, anyone whom you find your gods shall not live. In the presence of your kinsmen, point out what I have that is yours. And again, Laban has taken a bunch of family, a bunch of friends with him, his own probably herds or shepherds. What is yours? And take it. Now Jacob did not know Rachel had stolen them. So he takes it. He says, if you find someone, he says, they will not live. And so it goes on. It says that he's going to go through all of the stuff. And I think I've got all those things written down there that I've talked about on those next points. Point two is interesting. I've got it written out there. Laban's viewpoint of this situation presents Laban himself as the victim. His heart is hurt for his daughters and grandchildren having gone away. And yet, as the big man here, as the big man that he is, Laban understands. He says, I understand. I understand you're going back to your father, plus your God spoke to me, so I'm the big man here. It's like, you're not the big man, you're the one that we're all running from. But he's painting himself off as the victim with a big heart and taking the high road, which he is not. People that will lie will play the victim. They'll be the ones who will be hurt, and at the end of their story, they're the heroes. Laban is that person. Jacob answers the first question, the second question. Okay, Genesis 31, 33 through 35. So Laban went into Jacob's tent and into Leah's tent and into the tent of the two female servants, so Bilhah and Zilpha. And what he's doing, he's going through and feeling through everything. The word is used as feeling. He's feeling through. Maybe he's looking, but he's just trying to find. They're buried underneath a rug, a blanket, clothing or something. Now Rachel had taken the household gods, the teraphim, and put them in the camel saddle and sat on them. Laban felt all about the tent, Rachel's tent, but did not find them. In Jacob's tent, Leah's tent, Bilhah, Zilpha's tent, checks Rachel's tent, but Rachel's still sitting on her camel. And she said to her father, let not my lord be angry that I cannot rise before you, for the way of women is upon me. So he searched but did not find the household gods. He wouldn't touch it because, point three, a woman in that situation, women were unclean or impure, and this uncleanness and impurity could be contagious if you got close to it. Made women vulnerable to demonic activity. During this period, they were vulnerable, they assumed, to demonic activity, and so she was under taboo. Do not go near her. There could be demons involved. prohibit women from social contact, and made women... radiate danger if they were even seen. You did not even want to look at them. So she's like, she's got a bubble of protection around her. It's like, it's that time of the month. And he's like, okay. And he doesn't even bother. And assumes that surely she doesn't have the family gods in that condition in her saddle sitting on them. So that's not even possible. So he lets her go. And doesn't find it. So then Jacob became angry. Chapter 31, verse 36. Then Jacob became angry and berated Laban. Jacob said to Laban, what is my offense? What is my sin that you have hotly pursued me? For you have felt through all my goods. What have you found of all your household gods? Set it here before me, before my kinsmen and your kinsmen. So you've got people here. Show them what I took, that you may decide, that they may decide between the two of us. So Jacob now is getting now aggressive. He's now going to challenge Laban, and Laban has nothing. Laban's got nothing to put out there in front. So Jacob says, where's my sin? And then he goes on. Now, that's talking about the present situation. Right now, in this present situation, the household gods, guys, look, I'm innocent. Laban, put it right here in front of everybody. Show everybody what I took. You pursued me because I took your household gods. Where are they? And there's nothing. That's zero. Zero there. So who's the winner in this case right here? Jacob scores this point. Now, Jacob's going to push it further. Now he's going to go back. And let's talk about the last 20 years. These 20 years, verse 38, I have been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried. I've taken care of the births. And I have not eaten of the rams of your flocks. I did not overeat or plunder anything. What was torn by wild beasts, if they did attack, I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it myself. I think earlier in the notes, I think there was an expected like a 15% a loss of animals, natural loss of animals. It's on that first page. I'm going to look at it since I said it. Is it on the first page, second page? Oh, maybe it's at the bottom of this. Oh, it's coming up. It's coming up. There it is. Page 4. There would be a 15% natural loss in the flock, and there would be an 80% increase in birth. So birth rate was 80%. The natural loss was 15%. Jacob says, I didn't even turn that in on my paperwork. I just took the loss myself. If an animal got eaten, I didn't say, well, that's one of the 15%. I counted that as my own loss. I've not eaten the rams, which you was torn by wild beasts, I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it myself. From my hand you required it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was by day, in the heat consumed me, in the cold by night, and my sleep fled from my eyes. These 20 years I have been in your house, I served been your family, a member of your household, prospering you. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock. And you have changed my wages 10 times. Now, we can go through and kind of pick out a couple times it changed. But every year, they would have to renew. Starting with the first bride price, that got changed. The bride changed. And then the price doubled. And then eventually, during all these contracts every year, there'd be a new contract for the shepherds. It got changed 10 times. So you can see him changing the speckled and spotted. He changed that on him. So Jacob was always trying, Laban was always trying to outmaneuver Jacob, but in a sense he was cheating Jacob, but in his own mind he was only doing what was fair, what was right, because Jacob is the one in the wrong. I'm just trying to do the right thing, but it's all twisted. He doesn't know good and evil. He can't tell the difference because he is a liar. His heart is hardened. His soul is scarred. If God, Jacob goes on and says, if the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been on my side. See, that's God of Abraham, that's Yahweh, and the fear of Isaac. Isaac is married to Laban's sister. Had not been on my side, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. And that is the truth right there. Jacob, in Laban's condition, the way he's been treated by Laban, if Laban had the choice, and that's Laban's option right here. I would have sent you away. I would have kept the children and the grand and my daughters, but you would have gone away as a hired man who I have paid for 20 years. You're free to go, but you can't take anything. The flocks are mine, the possessions are mine, the grandchildren and the daughters are mine. But Jacob says, if God my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been on my side, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God saw my affliction, the labor of my hands, and rebuked you last night. In other words, do not mess with Jacob. There's some interim details on how they make contracts during the spring shearing season. They'd make a new contract with the shepherd, how much of the, you know, how many of the produce they'd get to keep. After 80% were born, they'd get to keep those. And they'd keep the milk products. They'd get an amount of the wool. Excess animals would be given to the shepherds. Then Laban answered and said to Jacob, the daughter, now here, this is now, you remember what he just said? I would have sent you away. Now he says, Do you understand? Remember that? I would have sent you away with singing and a celebration. I just wanted to kiss them goodbye. I'm just a hurt grandpa that didn't get to say goodbye to my children. I'm a good man. In fact, I'm going to take the high road right here, and I'm just going to let it go because God told me to. Okay, now watch what he says here. Then Laban, because Jacob says, you're the one that's wrong, I've got another bonus point. Now, Jacob has lost no gods, and now he's been accused of ripping him off for 20 years. This is positive twice for Jacob. It's 2-0 right here. Now, Laban's got to go to plan B. Now, what's he going to do? Now, he's going to be honest. He says, the daughters are my daughters. The children are my children, meaning the sons are my grandsons are mine. The flocks are my flocks. And all that you see is mine. In other words, your two daughters, your two wives, your children, all these flocks of yours, in fact, all the possessions you took, this is all mine. You've taken it all from me. But what can I do this day for these my daughters and for the children whom they have born? In other words, all this is mine. In other words, if I could go back and do it again, honestly, what I would have done is I would have let you go back to Isaac empty-handed because this stuff's mine. It was mine when I sold it to you. I got the money. It's still mine after I've sold it to you. And listen, in Laban's mind, you know people like this. In Laban's mind, he's right. He's taken the high road. And you should just put up with it and go home empty-handed. And if you don't, there's something wrong with you, Jacob. There's something wrong with you. And Jacob's not putting up with it. And Laban's blown his cover right here. Now, come now, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let the witnesses between you and me. So Jacob took a stone and set up as a pillar. They're going to set up a pillar, a stone again of some sort. Then everybody there is going to bring stones and put it. It's going to be a pile, a heap of stones right here. It's going to be a witness to this covenant that Laban and Jacob are going to make. It's going to be a witness to the covenant, the oath they're going to take, but it's going to also end up being a boundary. A boundary to, you're on that side, I'm on this side, they're parting. They're going to agree to part. And I've got this in the box. I'd love to show it to you. We'll pick it up maybe next week, but I'm going to finish reading this. But I want you to notice in the box, there are all the different words for pillar. In fact, I think we'll pick this up next week so I can do a nice job with pointing this out, because I spent some time, it's not complicated, but there's a lot of terminology being thrown back and forth, but it's really the same words in the Hebrew, heap, pillar, the witness, piled up, and they're going to make that stack of stones, take an oath, and what Laban's going to ask for, the one thing that Laban's going to ask for right here, finally, one thing he asked for is his daughters, Jacob's wives, his Leah and Rachel. He says, now, you're going to go back to your father, but the part of this oath is you cannot marry anyone else. And it's not, he's not talking about divorce or an affair or a, you know, what's that, Cold Stone concert? What was that place in the Jumbotron? He's not talking about that. He's talking about Jacob marrying into another family, and Rachel and Leah have value. They've got status. Because they are Jacob's wives with all these possessions and all these children. But Jacob marries in and brings in another wife. She has children. Now she's got status. She's got rights. And it's like now you've divided from having two, you've got three, and it starts deteriorating. So he says, just do not marry anybody else. That's part of the oath, and they swear an oath to each other. It's witnessed by this pile of rocks or this pillar, and it becomes the boundary. And we'll pick that up next week because I want to look at those words. And that's what takes place. Jacob's then going to go on his merry way, but he's got another problem coming, and that is Esau. Laban goes back, and he's out of the story. But Jacob now is going to continue. He's got to get home yet, and we're going to have a great story next week when he gets ready to meet Esau. And you talk about repentance and healing and coming to Jesus meeting. Jacob's going to have a come to Jesus meeting with Jesus in a wrestling match. However that plays out, we'll see that next week. I'll pray and we're done. Father, do thank you for the chance to look into these things. We ask that we would analyze our own hearts correctly, that we would seek truth and allow the Word of God to penetrate our hearts, that we would think true, that we would speak true, that we'd live in a true way, that we'd be able to correct our own mistakes, the things we think that are wrong, the things that we say that are in error, our attitudes. We ask that we could walk in the light as you are in the light. And we do thank you for this opportunity. And also give us direction and guidance to avoid those who walk in darkness and want to seek and create chaos in our lives and in the world. We do ask you to lead and guide us. And thank you for the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your time.